morning, church. I'm with Jared. It's just a blessing to see all the pile of kids, but it's also a blessing to see each of you. Saw some new faces out there this morning. I want you to know that we're glad that you are here. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to register with us. You can put your email, if you'd like to be a part of our email list, you can put your email there and check the box. You're not required to do that with the blue card, but would love to know that you are here. I say this as maybe a biased person, but this is a good church. It's not because of me, it's not because of our building, it's because you guys are here and because the Lord is here. And it's just exciting to be a part of this. I'm blessed to be your pastor. I guess it's been about 2 years ago we were in a drought. Remember that? Does anybody remember the drought? You know, water rationing. I think you could water your yard once every quarter, maybe. You know, once every 3 or 4 months, they let you water your yard. Our lakes were dry, and the group that I'm a part of, One Kingdom, where several other pastors in towns and leaders in the community are part of this, and we launched the Pray for Rain campaign. Anybody remember that? And we specifically had a request, Lord, bring us 40 inches. Do you remember? 40 inches of rain. And then I haven't checked my numbers, but as I recall, it was like 1953 or something before or since we had had that much rain. And so we were really stepping out on faith. In all honesty, me being the awesome man of faith I was like, what about 25 or something? You know, I was thinking that. But we prayed, we pressed in, we prayed for 40, and God did it. Didn't he do it? And we are still, our lakes are still full. He continues to bless us. Well, about 2 months ago. Chris, you here? Is Chris here? He's not here today. Okay. Well, someone in the church, his name is Chris, came to me and said, you know, we've got a big election coming up, and you guys, you One Kingdom guys, y'all, in faith, you stepped out and you asked God to pray. We prayed for rain, asked God to bless us with rains, and he answered, why don't you ask him something about our nation? Why don't you press in for our nation? We need you guys to pray. We need you to call us to prayer. And this is the result of that conversation. This is the result. I feel the Holy Spirit as I lift this sign, as I talk about that. I feel the Holy Spirit is pleased that we are petitioning him on behalf of our nation. Church, we need God in America again. There ought to be a song about that. We need God in our nation. We are a mess, are we not? And so I encourage you, these signs are at both doors on your way out. If you've got $3 to help us cover the cost, great. If you don't, just take a sign. Don't forget the little stand that comes with it. Unless you want to, you know, hold it out in your front yard, you know, just stand there holding it, that'd be all right too. And if you take one for your neighbors, if they'll do it, it's really encouraging. I'm already beginning. We just got these signs last week. I'm already beginning to see them in town. Have anybody been seeing them? We came home. It's really neat. Our next door neighbors actually go to Chuck Farina's church, New Hope, which is Chuck's a dear friend of mine. He's also on the One Kingdom team. We came. Cheryl and I drove home last week, and our sign's been out there for a week. And we came home, and our neighbors have a sign in their front yard. And it was just encouraging to me to know that we are praying for America. So, man, whether you have a sign or whether you don't, please pray for our election. I'll be speaking on that more as we get closer. Turn with me, if you will. Billy, you have forever tainted that phrase. I just wanted you to know that. Been saying that for 14 years, and then you mock me, and I can't even say it with a straight face anymore. Luke chapter 2. I guess I should tell you where to turn, huh? Luke chapter 2. Now, the passage I'm going to read today, we normally read this around Christmas time, okay? But it's not just a Christmas verse. We're going to pick it up, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Can I hear an amen? All right, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. You are indeed welcome here, and we need you. We want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, speak to us in power and authority. It's the only way you know how to speak. Open our hearts and our minds to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am continuing the sermon series one. Now the first week we talked about, does anybody tell me one what? One book. That we are a people of one book. And as I'll say this probably every time, if we haven't made up our mind about this, then you can check out. Go ahead and some of you nap anyway. Go ahead and start napping now, because if you haven't made up your mind that this is the Word of God, then the rest of what I have to say today is worthless. We must decide if God has spoken or not. And if He has, we must understand what He has said. And then last week, anybody remember? One God. Now, if you hear the statement, you know, all these other religions, whether they call God Allah or whatever they call, it's all the same God. If you hear that, then here's what I would say to that. It's like, okay, well, that's really awesome, because I didn't know the Muslim faith believed in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. That's awesome. It's good to know. But see, our God is the Trinitarian God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe that God, even though our infinite minds, we can't fully comprehend it, we understand that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today, we are going to talk about one Lord and Savior. One Lord and Savior. I'm going to spend most of my time today speaking to the Lord piece of that. You know, when we hear it all the time, it's like, have you accepted Christ? Yeah, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. We just kind of gloss over that. We just shoot right by that, and we really don't take the time to really understand what does that really mean, Lord and Savior. We like the Savior part. We like the Savior part because that seems to be something that we're getting out of the deal. It's like, okay, we're lost. If we believe that we're lost to our sin, where death is the final outcome of our sin and separation from God. And so we like the fact that God is our Savior. He saves us. He plucks us out of that condition of death. We like that because we receive something from that. Lord is a little more messy for us, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to dive right in. You know, I was thinking about this, those two terms, Lord and Savior. Jesus, I see it this way. Jesus proved Himself as Savior on the cross. He proved Himself Savior on the cross. He took our place. He died the death that we owed, and He was our Savior on the cross. And He proved Himself Lord by His resurrection. The very thing that none of us, did you know that none of us are getting out of this world alive? I don't know if you've ever, you know, contemplated that. But we're not. We're not getting out alive. And so we understand that death is the final foe that we face. And yet, by the empty tomb, by the Lord's resurrection, Jesus proved Himself Lord, that not even the grave could hold Him. That word, that term Lord, is God or Jesus is referred to as Lord over 5,000 times in the Bible. That's a fairly significant topic. 5,000 mentions of Lord in God's Word. So let's jump right in. The first thing, in Scripture, Jesus is declared both Lord and Savior by the angel. He's declared both Lord and Savior by the angel. The passage we just read, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior will be born, has been born to you. He is Christ who? The Lord. Christ the Lord." So the angel is proclaiming to the shepherds, Jesus is being born. He is Emmanuel. He is God made flesh. He has come, and he will be both Savior and he will be both Lord. Now, whether we have surrendered to him as Lord and or Savior doesn't change the fact that he is indeed Lord and Savior. It doesn't change it whether we believe it or embrace it or accept it. He is Lord and Savior. Now, so we see through Scripture, Jesus was declared Lord to Mary and Joseph, and that's in Matthew 1 and Luke 1. He was declared Lord to the shepherds that we just read. The wise men came from the east, it says, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Who do we bow down and worship? Someone of high standing, Lord. Peter proclaimed Jesus as Savior. Now, this is the same Peter who denied that he even knew this man. Something changed in Peter. Something changed in him from the time of Jesus' trial and his death on the cross. Something changed in him in his later life. He ultimately went to his own death proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior. Listen to what he says in Acts chapter 4. Salvation, there it is, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So Peter is proclaiming that we need to be saved, and the only one who can save us is Jesus. No one else, Jesus. Once again, that question, are all gods the same? Don't we just have different names for God? No, we don't. Our God is different. Our God is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus. So see if any of these other religions embrace that. And then we can start talking about things being the same. Jesus himself proclaimed he was the way to salvation. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through moi." Me. Jesus was saying that you want to come to the Father, you want to be saved, you have to go through me. Now, it's interesting. Y'all have probably seen the scriptures, the Roman road. Anybody know about the Roman road? You know, if you don't, see me and I'll get you a copy of the scriptures. But basically, it's about four different scriptures that give us the basic gospel, that we are lost in our sin, and that Jesus came and died for us to save us, and that how we retain that. This is the passage, part of that Roman road that we quote so many times. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead," so that's called faith, if we believe. So if we confess that Jesus is Lord, if we believe, you will be saved. So there's this confession of Lord, this belief that he is who he said he is, leads to salvation. That's what Scripture tells us. Do you understand, as I say these things, as I teach, are you seeing the importance of God's Word? We must know these things. We must know these things because we're not going to hear any of this from the world. We're not going to hear any of this just, you know, shooting the bull with people. We are reading. I mean, there's some great books out there that we can read and whatnot, but God's Word is different. We need to know God's Word because He talks about us. He talks about us. Secondly, in Scripture, Jesus is declared Lord by John the Baptist. Now, in Matthew 3, this was John the Baptist was in this passage. He's quoting from Isaiah which was, it's actually Isaiah 40, which was some 600 plus years before Christ was to be born. And here's what John the Baptist says. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord." The Lord. Make straight paths for him. So John the Baptist, as well as Isaiah in the Old Testament, are declaring Jesus as Lord. Third thing, Scripture, in Scripture, Jesus is declared Lord once again by Peter. In Acts chapter 2, this is the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent, and Peter is basically preaching, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's preaching to the people, and he proclaimed the good news of Jesus as Lord and Savior. "Let all Israel be assured of this," Peter says. "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ," meaning the Messiah. And if you look at 2 Peter, I won't go through it, but if you look at the book of 2 Peter, four different times, and it's only, I believe there's four chapters in Peter, 2 Peter, if I'm not mistaken. In four different times, Peter refers to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. So the fourth thing, in Scripture, Jesus declared himself to be Lord. Jesus declared himself to be Lord. And here, we know this as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, if you don't, you should have that to memory. Matthew 28, 18, and then through about 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, and listen how we remember the Great Commission says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. We remember the Great Commission, but he starts it off by saying, all Jesus' words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, who has authority on heaven and earth? The Lord. The Lord. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore. And so what do you do when you see the word therefore in the Bible? You back up and you see what it's there for. You back up and see, what are they talking about? So it's an if-then statement. If this is true, therefore then this happens, or this is true. So he's saying that because I have all authority in heaven and in earth, and because I am conveying that authority to you as my people, through the power of your Holy Spirit, therefore, go and make disciples. He's not leaving us alone to do this task on our own. He is empowering us with his power and authority. Jesus himself declared himself to be Lord. Fifth thing, in Scripture, Jesus is declared Lord of all people. And we see it a couple of different places. We see it in the passage from today. The angel said, this good news that he's declaring was for all people. It's all people. And this was radical stuff in the New Testament days. This was radical stuff because the Jews had always been taught that we're God's chosen people, and nobody else is included. He's made covenant with us, his people. The Gentiles are out there, most of us are Gentiles. So we aren't, at that time, we aren't included in the covenant. So this is radical stuff. This good news that the angel proclaimed is for all people. Peter in Acts chapter 10 says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, the Jews, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Not some, not most, but he is the Lord of all. Did you know, we talk about this in the Apostles' Creed. We recite this. It says in the Apostles' Creed, the old language, the old English language says that he is Lord of the quick and the dead. The quick meaning living. That's old language for that. But in Acts chapter 10, it says God appointed Jesus as judge of the living and the dead. Did you ever, I don't know, for whatever reason this week, that kind of jumped out at me as like, wow. I mean, I knew it, but it just kind of, you know, sometimes the light bulb just goes on. Anybody got a light bulb besides me? But the light bulb went on and went, you know, on this earth or somewhere else. He's Lord. It doesn't matter if this in this life or the life to come. He's Lord for the living and the dead. He's Lord. It jumped out at me. He is the final and absolute authority. God has appointed Jesus as the final and absolute authority for all people in all circumstances with all situations. He is Lord. He is operating under the authority of God. You know, this idea of lordship, this idea of Jesus being Lord, what does that really mean? I would say to you, it's obvious Scripture proclaims Him as Lord so many different ways, and I didn't even touch on many other passages that speak to it. What does it mean for Him to be Lord? You know, most of us, if we've accepted Christ, if we've been baptized, and we've had that we call it conversion or born again, whatever we want to call it, most of us have answered that question: is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Do you confess Him? Because that's what Scripture tells us. To be saved, we must confess Him with our mouth as Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead. So most of us have answered that question. So the question is He Lord? Not did we answer the question, is He Lord? Lord means to be in authority, means that we are in submission. We don't like that word, do we? I hear all the time when I'm talking, that's another topic, but when we get into Ephesians 5 with husbands and wives, you know, where it says wives submit to the, it's a whole other sermon, and I can explain it to you. It doesn't mean what most people think, but a lot of people get riled up. That word submission, I ain't submitting to him. I'm not submitting. And so the question is, do we submit to Jesus? I mean, every component of our life. I was having the discovery class this morning. We were talking about stewardship. I was asked if I look at the givings of the church. I was asked that, and I said I used to not do that, but I was convicted that I need to start doing that 3 or 4 years ago. Because our givings, what we do with our wallet, what we do with our bank account, is a piece of what's going on in here. Do we understand that? And this is not a stewardship message, but we have to understand, is Jesus Lord? Is He Lord? And I was telling them about the comic strip. I'll show it to you sometime, but it had this man being baptized in it's like a little wading pool, and the preacher was holding him underwater, and he had his wallet, and the water line hit about right here. He had his wallet up like this. I'll show you that comic sometime. Cracks me up. Because is He Lord? Is He Lord of our finances? Is He Lord of our relationships? Have we, and here's this word again, have we submitted to His authority in those areas? Is He Lord of our marriages? Is He Lord of our career? Is He Lord of when we're behind the keyboard? Is He Lord of what we put in our bodies? Is He Lord of our conversations? Do we submit our conversations to His Lordship? Is He Lord of our social behaviors? You know, I've gone to a lot of events in town and different things and everything, and it's like, you know, I know I'm such a preacher, but you know, sometimes I just watch people. It's like, man, I wonder if his preacher knows he's behaving that way. You know, we can hide from the preacher, but we can't hide from the Lord. I mean, we think that if we're, you know, nobody's seeing this. The Lord is. He knows every site we visit on the internet. He knows everything we consume. He knows every conversation we have. Does my life reflect His Lordship? That's a rough question, isn't it? And as I'm asking you that question, the Lord is asking me that question. None of us can escape it. It's one thing to go when the preacher says, do you confess, you repent of your sins? Yes, I do. Do you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Do we? Is He Lord? We have to ask ourselves that. God has appointed Jesus as the final and the absolute authority in our lives. If you would just bow your heads with me, I want to give you an opportunity just to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Holy Spirit, come to each of us. Show us where you are not Lord in our lives. Lord, it's interesting that I even begin that prayer, Lord. So, Lord, forgive us where we fight to retain our own way. Those areas in our lives that somehow we don't trust you with. I'm just reminded that you want good things for us. You don't want to take away blessing from us. You want us to have abundant life. You want us to prosper. You want us to have peace. And yet, God, we're scared to death to let you be truly Lord in every aspect of our lives. Show us what those things are and then give us courage to surrender. To surrender those things to you. May we give you our relationships and our conversations and our marriages and our careers and our finances and our free time, what we do in our free time, our online behavior, the things we put into our bodies, all things, God, may we surrender those things to you. And may you truly be Lord of our lives. You are one Lord and one Savior. And we love you. We thank you that you cared enough for us that you came to love us and to extend to us eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will come back up as we close this morning. The altar rail is open, as it always is. I will be up front if you would like to visit with me or have me pray with you about anything. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can come and visit with me about that. Please stand. Church, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Go, that is good news, church. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.